Union files to represent Amazon workers in Laval. Saskatchewan teen nearly dies in workplace carbon monoxide poisoning. New study says First Nations patients more likely to leave ERs without receiving care in Alberta. Israel has yet to present evidence for UNRWA allegations, review fines, and Ecuadorians vote for tighter security measures. Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. A union in Quebec has filed paperwork to represent workers at an Amazon warehouse in Laval. The Confédération des syndicats nationaux, or the CSN, says that the application is to represent 200 workers. If the application is approved, the Laval location will become the first Amazon warehouse to be unionized in Quebec. Earlier this month, Unifor filed applications to represent Amazon workers in two locations in British Columbia. Those applications were withdrawn after Unifor accused Amazon of providing inaccurate information that interfered with its efforts. The CSN expressed similar concerns about Amazon's past examples of union busting, saying in a statement that the company has a, quote, long history of union busting and may well use delaying tactics or other strategies to slow the unionization process, such as artificially inflating the employee list, massive hiring, and spreading anti-union messages, unquote. Quebec has card check certification, and so if the Labour Board thinks that the CSN has the requisite number of cards signed, they will automatically be represented in the union. The CSN represents some 330,000 workers across the province and various industries. Next, to Saskatchewan, where a teenager, Will Krutenko, nearly died as a result of carbon monoxide poisoning while at work, and the workplace hasn't faced any consequences. The story comes by way of CBC's Go Public series. According to the story, Will was asked to clean an enclosed grocery store area using a gas-powered pressure washer. The carbon monoxide that was produced in the space was 60 times what is considered safe, according to the province's occupational health regulations, and Will had to be airlifted to a hospital because of the severity of his condition. It is also likely he will continue to face health challenges because of the poisoning. Despite the harm to Will's health, his employer, Co-op, didn't face any consequences. They were only told to fix the issue. This is a problem nationwide where employers don't face consequences for endangering employees' lives. Sean Tucker, a professor of occupational health and safety at the University of Regina, spoke to CBC and said that it's a problem that provinces cannot issue fines directly against employers. Sean Tucker, a professor of occupational health and safety at the University of Regina, who spoke to the CBC, said that's because the province could not issue fines directly against employers. They can only order them to fix issues or take them to court, which takes time and money. He said that new tools are needed to deal with incidents like this one. Next, a new study published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal shows that First Nations patients are more likely to leave emergency rooms in Alberta before having care than other non-First Nations patients. A previous study examined 11.6 million visits between April 2012 and March 2017, over 1 million of which were from First Nations patients. It found that 6.8% of First Nations patients didn't see a doctor or left against medical advice, compared to 3.7% of non-First Nations patients. This study wanted to investigate the reasons for this. Unsurprisingly, they seemed to be whether or not patients had First Nations status, which is to say racism was the reason. Both patients and medical staff cited seeing anti-Indigenous racism in emergency departments and the stereotyping of patients. Even though the study looked at Alberta, the lead author, Patrick McLean, told the Canadian Press that the findings probably apply to emergency rooms across the country. Now, I witnessed this close-up when I was in Edmonton this past week. I was invited to help with some outreach to folks who live outside. It's overwhelming to see how much it's clear that the health system lets them down. From slow ambulances to police caring more about a bit of garbage than someone in medical distress, I saw a lot in just a few hours. We helped two people get medical care, both who initially didn't want to go. When you're sick, you don't just not want to go to the hospital. That comes from something you've experienced already. And we know with this study, anecdotally, and from so many other areas, that reason is usually racism in the medical system. This study is absolutely borne out in Edmonton streets. Up next is an update on a story I've covered quite a bit. A new independent review by a former French foreign minister into UNRWA said that Israel has yet to present any credible evidence that staffers with the organization took part in the October 7th attacks. The claim by Israel has led to several countries canceling their funding to the organization. However, Israel's inability to present evidence has led to several other countries reinstating their funding, including Canada. The review also shows that Israel had not expressed any concerns with the vetting process for hiring staff at UNRWA since 2011, only making complaints in January 2024. It also emphasized the agency's role, saying it, quote, remains pivotal in providing life-saving humanitarian aid and essential social services, particularly in health and education, to Palestinian refugees in Gaza, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, and the West Bank, unquote. Finally, to Ecuador, where people have voted in favor of new security measures meant to deal with a recent spike in violence. President Daniel Noboa called the referendum after a few high-profile assassinations took place, including of a presidential candidate last year and several mayors in recent months. Last year, the country saw 8,000 violent deaths, and earlier this year, armed gang members took staff at a TV station hostage while they were on the air. The new measures include joint police-military patrols, the extradition of wanted criminals, and longer sentences for terrorism and murder. Human rights organizations have raised concerns over these measures as they would require modifying the country's constitution and, obviously, could be abused. Those are your headlines for Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Nora. It's Tuesday. That means it's Sandy and Nora Day. Today, you're getting the live show from Edmonton that we just recorded. It's a really great conversation. You won't want to miss it. And hey, if you were there, you can listen to see if I cut anything out. I don't think I did. It's just the first half of the event, so there's no Q&A in this episode yet. We will release that one later. You are listening to this podcast at sandynora.com, on the Real News Network podcast feed, and anywhere you get your podcasts. I hope you have a wonderful Tuesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow.